Assalamu alaikum. I apologize for the technical problem that we have. This problem we felt would happen sooner or later. We've been doing very well for the last 28 Tuesday. I said very well because we had no interruption. We had some problems one time or another, but nothing to cry about. This time, we've been trying to get on the radio since 7 o'clock, and it said call back in 22 hours. We tried again and again, and we could not get in. But Brother Alfred did something when we was able to reach him, and he said, try it one more time. And therefore, it did go through. We know these things happen, and we surely appreciate those who held on and waited patiently to see if, in fact, we will at least come on this evening. So far, I always say to Brother Alfred that this is his show, and he surely has the right to cancel me at any time. But he sent me a message through my assistant, Eli Obey, and said, tell Moran, we ain't taking him off. He's on every Tuesday, so he do not have to call me. That was music to my ears. Once again, I didn't ask for it, but I enjoy talking to you all on a Tuesday evening, even though it's snowing and hailing here in the state of New Jersey on the East Coast. But nevertheless, the show must go on. I was known for that. I've been in the entertainment business through the sport of boxing, and I've been in the business for over 35 years. I have never once had a cancellation. If, in fact, I don't recollect that I might have had one postponement, in law, that is considered exception to the rule. So, therefore, I got a clean shake that my theme was the show must go on. Why? Why do we say that, out of ego? Or do we say that because we have a concern for the viewing audience? We believe we owe the viewing audience no excuse. Your show must go on. If you go into the court of law and someone is trying to attach that show for any reason whatsoever, they want to put a stay on that show, the judge would rule, I'll see you after the show, because the viewing audience should not suffer for your indifferences. And I knew then that the judge, by law, knows the law greater than we do, because that's how he makes his living. Yet he renders a decision, I'll see you after the fact. But that show will go on. So I adopted that continuity. And I didn't care what was wrong with my fighter, whether it was a main event or it was a semi-event. I made sure that I took out some type of insurance. And what is that insurance? Paying money to ensure that if the fight doesn't happen by the act of God, they will pay us what we put in. No, not just that insurance. Insurance that I have someone waiting, equal or better, to fulfill that individual position. You don't have that problem with the main event, more so. because they get paid a great deal of money. And when you pay an athlete in seven figures, as high as $17 million or $20 million, that is a lot of money. He's coming in that ring, I don't care what illness he has. He has to be not able to get out of the bed for him to turn that fight down. So you don't have to worry about the main event. But most of the time, the opponent, if he's not making that much money, he'll find something wrong with himself. But when you pay him a great deal of money, you got to say, hey, man, you may not ever get an opportunity to step in the ring and make that kind of money within 55 minutes. If it's a 12-round. Don't let it be a 10-round. My God, he's out of that ring a little over 30 minutes. So I'm used to things happening. I'm not used to not going on time, because when you say live from any part of the world, this fight is brought to you by Murad Muhammad. It must be on time. Because clearing the airwaves costs you a great deal of money. But once again, things happen. As-salamu alaykum to my listening audience, and surely I thank you. And if this didn't happen, I might have had thousands out there. But if it's just one, if it's just one, I would thank Allah that I can plant a seed to escalate, elevate, and motivate determination in you to want something out of life. And it's simple to want something out of life. I want to thank once again my beloved brother, Imam Alfred Muhammad, for giving me this opportunity. And today, he's all man. He doesn't tell you if he's ill or what's going on in his social life. He just said he will not be on the air tonight. We prayed that he's okay, and whatever he's dealing with, that he can handle his burden. But I want to take this opportunity to encourage you to go in your pocket and send a few dollars in, whatever you can afford. You go on Blog Talk Radio, you'll find Alfred Muhammad for his cancer fund. I see on national TV that you have men in all walks of life pleading to us to send monies and funds in to help one that's struck with cancer. It costs a great deal of money. And hopefully that child that's in your home old enough to go to college can discover the cure to this disease that's caused cancer. I know he would appreciate it, and surely he didn't ask me to do so, but I will take time out of my talk and to encourage you, if I can, and to motivate you to send in whatever you can afford to help him. I know sometimes we believe that a few dollars that might embarrass you. I don't have $5. I might have $10. I don't have $20. I might have 12. Whatever you able to send in, if all of us did so, it adds up. And this is why we are a community. So I want to say, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise and the thanks is for God. We thank him for the gift and the blessings of the mortal human person, Muhammad, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of God. Let's follow that salute and that salutation that is given to us on the last prophet of God. We say, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, his descendants and his companion, the seal of the prophet, as mentioned in the Bible, as it is mentioned in the Holy Quran. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We love to open up in with God's name, because it's important to let the listening audience know that we try to use God's words only. and any time is not God's word, and it's a mistake, that's my word. That's not God. God makes no mistakes. So we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka nabudu iyyaka nasta'in. Adina sirata mustaqim. Sirata adina antu alayhim. Now real my doom be alayhim wa nalim. Amen. That is Fatiha. I open up in Fatiha because I give so many blessings. I call them blessings that you take time out to call me and to inform me how you are reading Fatiha. Believe me, you can never repeat Fatiha too many times. It is a blessing to talk to your Lord in the way that you are asking him to open your mind to creation and to understand that every day in life there's a trial and there's an error. And in your trial, you have to pass that test. And some people fall, but fall towards your direction of your goal. So when you get up, it's less time and left more towards the righteousness in which you are traveling once you get up from that fall. Fall towards that direction to your goal in life. We understand that so many things are happening, and I want to take time out to see if I can address the everything, everyday life. Most people get away from that. Yes, we're going to put some scripture in it just to show you that things that's happening today has happened years ago. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifies his name, has given us the understanding that what he tells you is for the past, the present, and surely for the future. And I don't understand why the phone told me 90 seconds. Whatever that means. Am I talking to you all? Of course, there's no feedback to tell me that I am or I'm not. Well, I don't understand why we now got 90 seconds. But I'm going to... Well, for her to tell me 60 seconds, my God, I don't know what's going on. Do I have to start all over again? Because she's counting seconds down. Is it second down that she's counting for me to continue? Or I'm finally coming on the air? Once again, I can't tell you if in fact that I'm off the air or I'm on the air. I will continue. Do I like to hear myself talk? I'm my number one fan. So I can continue to talk as if I'm talking to myself. But I don't like to use that. I don't like to use the word self. I heard a very distinguished lady tell me at a young age, at 9 years old, young man, who are you talking to? And I said, I think I am talking to myself. And she said, no, you're talking to a very important person. So, okay, I'll be talking to my five principals. Thank you. Thank you, my beloved sister. Text in and say, I can hear you. I can hear you loud and clear. You see, we always will be tested. I was not going to give up. I would have continued unless that phone says you off the air. They didn't say I was off the air. So I'm going to continue to pick up where I started. I was trying to instill in the listening audience that things happen in the world. And you hear it all over. You hear it on TV. But Allah is saying to us that you just come into that knowledge. But Allah knows what the future is going to bring. So when you hear the words of God, that was before he created this world. He knew what he was going to instill in the world. I give you a great metaphor. When he created Adam, he said, I'm going to create a new creature in the earth. So that means it was created in the earth before it was brought to him. Isn't that amazing? So that means God thought of us before he molded, shaped, and breathed into us. So the same way with his creation. So whatever you hear from God is for us that was created at that time, and it's for us who is here at this time, and it's for those who's going to come tomorrow. So there's no beginning in God's creation, and surely there's no ending in God's creation. So keep in mind, this is not a human being you're talking about. This is not an angel you're talking about. You're talking about the Creator, and don't ever limit him. When you hear someone says, oh, that was for 1,400 years ago, they didn't get it. And don't try to correct them. Just thank God that you recognize that they do not know what they're talking about. So history, we say it all the time, history repeats itself. And so history is repeating itself. And God, when he talks to you, he repeats himself. I remember very distinctly that my wife said, you're repeating yourself. And I said to her, honey, don't God repeat himself? Don't fault me that I repeat what God says over and over and over. Because when you repetition on anything that you do, you will not lose it. My mama said, if you don't use it, you will lose it. So I try to use everything that's good. Don't stop me, because one day I'm not going to wake up, and then I'm stopped. But until then, I'm going to use my five senses, and I'm going to continue to use my five senses. And if I can't walk, I'm going to use my five senses. If I can't talk, I'm going to use my five senses, because my five senses say it ain't over until God says it's over. So you don't quit. You just get up and you keep moving. When you think you're sad, when you think you're down and out, when you think nobody's there to help you, isn't Allah sufficient? Well, he ought to be, but you got to believe, because you can't see him, you can't touch him, you can't feel him, but you got to have faith that God is close. He is close to you in your jugular vein. So things are happening. Let's deal with something that is large. And I don't want to get involved in politics. I'm not a politician, and I don't play politics, so I ain't politicking. However, it's the what's going on in the world. Today, we have our president, and they have rules and regulations. But today, the rules didn't count for this president. Why? Simple. Racism. Jealousy, and can't understand why a black man is in office. And I use that word loosely, because that's what identified us as a people, by using the word black. And I like the word black, because the word black means faithful. Yes, you can't see it. That's what it means in scripture, faithful, can't see it. So you're black. You're black in your soul. You're black in your intellect. You're black in your spirit. You're black in your nature, meaning that I can't see you, Lord, but I'm going to act like I can see you. But I know you seeing me. So therefore, we have faith. So the president has faith. But the president, the premier of Israel, came in through the back door. You thought it was our president being addressing the nation. But he comes here for two reasons, and I surely ain't God. He comes here to protect Israel. That's what he said. Now, some people say the other reason is he's running for prime minister in 2 weeks. So if he's the minister of the, meaning the president of the country, then yes, this is a good platform. But when you're on a platform as big as this, it's a two-way sword. It can make you or break you, because people can see you for your true self. And what the president is saying is that wherever the difference is, we have to communicate. If we don't communicate, how are we going to solve the problem? They don't want him to communicate with Iran. Now, again, this is beyond our means. But I'm just showing you how even the president of the United States has pressure. And he has difficulties. I believe he's strong enough to weather the storm. How could you test your president if you don't have these obstacles in front of you? I think he's doing a wonderful job. Well, likewise in your life. You're not the president of America, but you are president of your corporation. What is your corporation? Yourself. Yes, you have to govern that head. You got to govern that body. You got to govern those senses. You got to govern. You are the CEO of your stature of a human being that was created. First, you got to believe that you make decisions for that body. Look in the mirror, and you will see it. That head is smaller than the body. The body represents the community. Yes, your fingers is the community. Your hand is the community. Your arms are the community. Your toes, your feet is a community. Your legs is a community. Oh, man. Your heart, your kidney, your liver is a community. And this is a sign for God to show you what community is all about. Now, I know that little toe looks insignificant, but let it hurt you, that little toe. Better than that, how about an ingrowing nail on that little toe? Oh, it will disturb you. As little as it is, it will disturb you. Why? You're sensitive to that corporation. Just the little guy, the little toe. Disturbs you. You got to get it fixed. You better go see a doctor. You don't need a heart doctor for the feet. You got to go see a feet doctor. But what about the fingers? Well, let one of them don't operate properly. It will throw you off. My God, let one eye get something in it. You can't see. Let one lip get busted or puff up. Hard for you to eat. How about the Adam's apple is sore? You can't swallow right. Disturbs you, don't it? Well, that's life. That's life. A community is every human being. So if the president feels bad, he's human, you should feel bad. Yes, if Israel is catching hell, you should feel sorry for Israel. Is Iraq. There's good people in Iraq. You should feel for Iraq. This is a community. God is showing you in your own corporation, your own being, that did not put you in charge. He gave you a will. You can will anything for that body. You could be a man and will yourself a woman. You could be a woman and will yourself a man. You could be a freak, and you could freak yourself any means necessary because that's your will. All depends on how you want to take care of that corporation, which is a community. So God is showing you in your individual life there's going to be problems. Things are going to happen. Why, I was told if you don't catch a cold, you got a disease in your body. Cold is to release those diseases. A doctor say you should get a cold at least once a year. It ain't bad if you get it twice a year because the impurities got to come out of you. Because you ain't going to fast. Everybody don't fast. So God got to give you a fast. And so he slows you down with a cold while you're in the bed. You go every day, hey, I got a bad cold. But it's puzzling to me that I understand clearly. Matter of fact, you all should take notes from our Jewish brothers and sisters. They ain't going to let you forget Holocaust. And they fighting. And they want to prove to the world that they got their own state. Regardless how they got it, they have it. And they will fight like hell against those who fight against them. And they would be destroyed if they didn't have help. Forget the rest of the part of the world. Our country gives them billions of dollars to be independent so they can practice their religion. They can practice their belief in God. They can magnify themselves as an independent human being that's trying to do something right. Isn't that amazing? And one of the connections is what they've been through. They can go all the way back to Hitler. They can go all the way back putting them in their ovens. Terrible thing. You should feel bad. You human. My God, who would do something like that? But isn't it amazing that over 20 million African Americans went through worse? They had a picture of Jesus. I like watching things like that. I just want to see the mindset of another human being. And they showed Jesus being whipped. And if you notice, they had rocks, call them pebbles or rocks, tied up with the whip. So he didn't just get whipped with the whip. He got whipped with rocks tied up. So he's being hit with rocks. Oh, they beat him down. And who was commentating? A black man. A black man is commentating. A black man is showing the pain that they endure. Oh, my God. The pain. Can you believe that? The pain. A black man is articulating how he had to carry that 30 pound on his shoulder. How the people was persecuting him. Oh, when they put the nails in his hand, it sent a chill through your body. You forgot all about your ancestors. Your mind is on Jesus. Do we, or did we forget? Or do we give a damn? Do we understand for any reason whatsoever that they would stand up our little girls, impregnate them, and then cut their belly so the baby can fall with the bitter cord and hit the ground? And if it's alive, they cut that navel cord and take your baby. Patches up the mother. Well, the slaves wasn't doctors, but they did the best they can. Some died and some lived. They didn't care about the mother. They cared about the baby. Did we talk about how they whipped our fathers? Did we talk about how they laid us down in tar feathers and tied our hands where we couldn't move behind our back and put two horses, one on the left, one on the right, and sent them opposite direction and put us to fire? Talk about castrating. You ever been cast? Just think about it. Let them show that. Let them show Jesus and let them show your ancestors. And if you more worry about Jesus than you are your ancestors, you got no soul. Well, if you're a doctor and you come into the emergency room, and your relative's been shot in the legs and the arm, and you forget the man that's not even your family member, your immediate family, but that one was shot in the head. But he's begging for help because he's dying. Which one are you going to operate on? So you're saying the people outside America suffered worse than us? 80 years, 400 years, 400 years we went through hell. 400 years our ancestors suffered. Who is standing up for us? Well, the difference from you and our Jewish brother, they got unity. See, they are a community. You don't even know who you are. Why, you don't even like each other. Matter of fact, if you can wave a wand and you look in the mirror and see you black, you will pray that you can turn white tomorrow. You use this cream to make your skin lighter. And some of y'all went with Caucasian men and know that he is not better than we. But you wanted a white baby into the world so they don't catch the hell that you caught. You want to be successful, look white. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with that line of thinking. Do you think this is what God wants for us? Place a burden on a soul that it can withstand. So if you look at it through the eyesight of revelation, God is saying that you who was robbed and brought over here from Africa, I have chosen you to be an example to the whole world. Whoa, do that ease the pain. We're gifted, and you don't even know it. We're gifted. Don't look at the Jews being together and talking about Holocaust. You say, look at you. Look at you today. I heard a black woman, I said, boy, you look gorgeous. You look like you 20. She said, man, I'm 40. You know black don't crack. And I thought about that. You don't even crack. You're strong in your spirit. I don't care if it's ignorance. Whatever you grasp onto, you hold on to it. Yes, there's nothing that we don't do and take it to the maximum. That's why they're afraid to give you independence. They know if you learn how to serve the true living God without going through another man, they know you have to believe that Jesus was the Son of Man so they can control you. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, y'all don't know that man. But those 20 million that know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he talked about this day. Wake up, you mighty nation. He called us a nation to divide us from a nation within a nation. And you can conquer what you will. They refer to it as the sleeping lion. We will sleep. It's not accidental, brothers and sisters, that you don't have education. You laugh at that brother that don't have education. But you ain't trying to educate him, but you laugh at him. But yet, he can do miracles with no education. I'm not saying you should not get an education. Every one of my children are educated. Thanks to God. Because I advocate, I instill, and I motivate education. But not just to educate yourself with this world. Educate yourself in knowing who God is. Don't let nobody take you away from the Lord of all the worlds. because it's a trick, it's a con. Why they can maneuver all around us, because we won't come together. We don't understand the power that God has given to us. But he says in Revelation, community. Now, you ain't the only one. I'm talking to my Christian brothers and sisters. You're not the only ones. So I'm going to share something with you. We got men that went to Hajj. Now, we talked about that, so you're a little educated about Hajj. Believe it or not, Jesus pointed towards Hajj. Muhammad says, one day you will see him and Jesus together. That's another long story that I can talk about, how some Muslims don't even want to talk about you Christians. But let's talk about my brothers that went to Hajj. When you go to Hajj, when you land into Saudi Arabia, you got to take off your clothing. Yes, the brothers unclothe. Ikhram, you put on. It's a clothing that looks like you will wear if you're in the hospital. It covers your groin. It covers half your top. But it's just a thin piece of cloth. We have to wear underclothes under there, or you will see the man's privacy. Everybody has to come out of their clothing. Why? Why do we have to get out of those clothes? Think about it. But the female comes in, and she don't have to take her clothes off. Wherever she's wearing, for whatever part of the country she comes from, she wears her culture. And she has to cover her hands. But her hair and her face is open. And she has to get in line with us. She don't know that brother on her left, and she may not know that sister in front of her. They all come from all parts of the world for Hajj. What is God saying? God is saying, man, it ain't the woman that brought evil to the world. It was the man that brought evil to the world. So she don't have to undress. You do. And then we go and make our Hajj. And we go around the Kaaba to our left. Why to the left and not to the right? Because it's normal for the human being to use his right, because he thinks that the right is better than the left. So God shows you, I don't need anything that man create. For all your brothers who stuck on stupid that won't shake a man's hand because you think the left is dirty. When the left hand is more submissive to the right, because you got to tell that right hand what to do. You don't have to tell that left hand what to do. The left hand will assist you without you being conscious of it if that box or that thing that you picking up is too heavy. So we go counterclockwise to our left 7 times. But the Hajj is not complete. I don't care how many du'as you make. And we make them in pairs 7 times. Stands for nothing if you don't go to Arafat. But what do the Kaaba mean? Kaaba means connection. Here, community again. Connection. If you don't have the connection, it means nothing. If you don't understand that going to around the Kaaba means bringing you to the connection. To what? Connection to America? Connection to Saudi Arabia? Connection to Egypt? The connection that God gives you, what he wants you to be in life. But you got to do Arafat. You got to go on Arafat. You got to stone the devil. You got to run from mountain to mountain. You got to do all these rituals. Then you put your clothes back on Arafat. So you can do what? You can connect with your brother. How do he tell you who are you? By your clothing. Everybody from different countries, whether you're from Persia, whether you're from India, whether you're from Japan, wherever you're from, you have those clothes back on. The problem is, we don't know who the hell they are in America. Because the Persian says, oh, that must be a Persian. He's dressed like me, and find out he is not. Don't have to ask that about the sisters more so, because sisters, they create their own garments. So they know it's different. But the Africans look like the Africans, the Egypts look like the Egypts, the Pakistanis look like the Pakistans, and so forth and so on. But we in America, we still don't know what we look like. We have everybody's culture but our own, trying to be like everybody else. But it's for us to get to know one another. Get to know what? You a doctor? You a lawyer? You an engineer? You a bum on the street? To know your character. To know the gift that God has given. Everyone got a personality. So God is bringing us together to interact. And the same brothers come over here, back home, and forget unity. What do they make hearts for? You don't even know what it means because your action says something different. You came and unite. Matter of fact, I heard something the other day at a Shore meeting that a group of men uses the name Emmanuel Wallerstein Muhammad and said, we don't want to pray with you. Oh, man. Oh, man, now I ain't upset. Thank you, Allah, to show me you ain't give it to them. And these are Hajis. They got issues. Everybody in the world got an issue. You should go to India. This we call the ghetto. Go to India and see the worst part of their country. Matter of fact, 80% of the countries you won't want to live where they live at. But that's their culture. That's why you got to take a shot. You got to get all your shots before you go over there because the smell, the smell of India doesn't bother them. That's their smell. But you may not be able to take the smell. So you got to take a shot, the visa, to get over there so you won't get ill. The water from Africa may make you sick. From Saudi Arabia may make you sick, but it doesn't make them sick. Maybe they drink our water, they get sick. So you got to be intelligent enough to know that you're coming around people from all parts of the world. So you're interacting now. For once, you're in unity. For once, you're praying together. For once, the women is just as equal as you are. And you don't want to love this woman on the equal basis as you are, why, brother, you're a damn fool. Because I see Allah. Amen. Wallerstein Muhammad sees Allah. And if we was in the first experience, we will physically show you, don't you ever use his name with your low-lifed way of thinking. You don't want to pray with some other Muslims, and you got nothing. How dare you? And then you got Hajis that says, well, we should lift the woman up. Why, man, she's higher than you are because she's about something. It's our job to go out while we are called the man and the leader of the family. Allah put that in us. Said, darling, well, we need some meat. You got to go out and get it. Yes, baby, I'll go out and get it. Well, darling, the kids need clothes. Yes, baby, I'll go out and get it. Darling, We need a roof over our head. You got to go out and get it. That's your job. You coward, you don't want to do it. You created to do that. And she created to be at home and asked you to go do it. But then you want to mistreat her. While the Christians, keep in mind, my beautiful Christians, that during the Roman time, you was a piece of meat. They cared nothing about you. In the name of Christianity, y'all should thank God for Martin Luther. That man came and saved y'all and told those Christians, he ain't even in the Bible. They don't want him in the Bible, but he fought them during the Roman time that the woman has a soul. Oh, Allah raises people up. You don't have to give them no accolades. But that's how worse Christianity was. It's better now, a little better now. Because they don't mistreat the woman. They make the woman feel that they obligated to that preacher. And who keeps the church going? The masjid, you find these weak imams, they got nothing but a few women behind them. And you think, oh, he's being fair. No, he feel he can control them. Because no man's going to stand for what he does. Not no real man. You can't fake nothing around a real man. But if a female feels that's all it is, then she follows you. And you take advantage of her knowing perfectly well you ain't qualified. But everything is closing down on you. Now, I want to say this. Because I got a voice to say it. I got a vehicle to say it. You asked me to sit down with a group of men that's failing. And all of them have an agenda. And that's good if it was a good agenda. But I'm telling you right now that I convinced our shore board we spend $7,000, $10,000, $15,000 worth of meat products. And I stood up strong when they wanted to spend it all with someone that don't look like us. They agreed to cut it in half. $7,000 go elsewhere and $7,000 stay at home. And the man that they all was talking about said he don't do nothing for nobody. I said, well, let's give him a chance. Too stingy, too petty, and will not give, but will take. And so they came together and blocked us and made a mistake and used the word that we are a different kind of Muslim. How could you say that and you take my money? And so we all came up together and said, we're not going to take our money from him. Because why? His family don't deserve that. It is bigger. And that name ain't on our list. And I know he got an idea why here they come now. But this is what I'm telling you what power is. You don't have to beat nobody up. You don't have to talk about nobody. Don't deal with them. Cut them off. Why, brother, I'd rather go to a Caucasian that treats me more like a Muslim than my brother that said, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, I can't get anything from him. We came and get them to join in unity prayer. Why, the sister said it was like going to Hajj. Here we go, that Hajj again. I didn't put it in their mouth. And one brother had a nerve to say, well, we got to get the community. No, you got to get 10 brothers because the community came out for you to hide. We had 22,000. Now you telling me that 22,000 was other than Imam Waterstein Muhammad's community? Well, you can't count. Well, where did they go? Well, let's see who they brought. 50. 50. Do you hear what I just said? From 2,000, 3,000, 10,000, 20,000, they down to 50. And now they want us to go against what we're doing as following the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they even advocating in their own masjid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell them to go to the largest ummah on the two holidays. Why are we so backwards? We take our fitra and put it over top of our hat. Brothers and sisters, when we go to Eid al-Adha, it's bigger than al-Fitr. And one day I'll teach you, since you don't know, because you don't know. It's convenient for you all to come out of Ramadan and go into al-Fitr, because why? You got off. You fast, so you want to party. You want to have a nice time and forgot about the children. But that's not what Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. That if you brought out 20,000 on Al Fitr, you should be able to bring out 60,000 on Al Hajj if you know what it means. Al Hajj is the community, universal men going to Hajj. You selfish individual. Yes. And you got men that don't teach it. But they'll teach you Arabic. Now, I'm saying to all of you, and I'm going to get off it. How do I sit down with men that say they follow this religion? And a man got 4 acres. Why, hell, man, when you did the father and son in the park, those are acres. And we have to, oh, there go Brother Omar. And you got to walk 2 minutes to get over to him. You don't have to fight through no crowd to get to him. You just got to walk that field to get over to him. So that means the people that was there can go on the 4 acres. But you ain't going on those acres because they ain't your acres. You ain't going on those acres because you can't dictate. You ain't going on those acres because self-consciously you're selfish in your heart. Too many of us, why nothing is built on that. Right in the middle and the heart of the ghetto where we lost our lives and went to jail for and established Islam. You rather go elsewhere than to go on that land. And a masjid could have been built with 4 acres. My God. We had a couple lots and a new masjid was built. But on that 4 acres, you can build schools, houses, business. But you know why you ain't going on that acre? Because Brother Imam so-and-so won't be the imam. And Brother Imam so-and-so won't be the imam. And Brother so-and-so won't be the imam. Who's going to be the imam? Oh, the brother who got the acres. And some of y'all with your stuck on stupid, oh, I was there when I helped them to get the acres, but you did nothing about it. So I'm not going backwards. So let me openly tell you Imam Waterstein Muhammad. He said a man that's reading the revelation advance. If you don't see them growing marat, they ain't got it. They forgot that Kaaba represents connection. They don't have the connection. That's why they're complacent. All you want is a guarantee, whether it's a check from the city or check from the state or welfare check or sadaqa. Wherever it might be, that's all you're good for. And you ain't going nowhere You haven't done anything for anybody to talk about what you're doing, and you hold it up to community. Well, I would feel better if you said, let me out of here. Find someone to take my place, like one man is doing, and he is successful. But he knows that he went far as he can go. Bring someone in, take y'all further. You all won't do it. And he's of Iman Wallace D. Muhammad's community. Don't you ever insult us and say that there's a five different communities that's separate from Iman Wallace D. Muhammad. He said, leave those fools. Go to humanity and then come back and get them. So I want to introduce to humanity what Allah has showed us, that everything you read is not just pictures. That's not why you go and put on the ikra. You don't put it on. You should have had it on when you got on the plane. The clothes of righteousness should have been on you on the plane. You should have been ready when you got off the plane. It took a piece of cloth to change your line of thinking. Who are you fooling? You was no good when you caught the plane, and you was no good when you put it on. You thought, oh, something going to just come over you? Yeah, that's why you're waiting for the night of power. You think that the angel going to come down to you like he did Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't even know what the night of power means, brother. Hell, when you come into a light of understanding, is that not power? But if your heart ain't right, ain't nothing coming to you. Why the odd day? Because all y'all speak, y'all think on the even day. Why you think six is the devil? You're so wrapped up in this world, and then you want us to think that you're going to lead us. And can't lead yourself. So I'm saying to my Christian brothers and sisters, unite with your Lord and think big, because I don't know nothing else. Why, if they was listening to me, I guarantee you, with the mercy of God, that I could show you $100 million. In 1 year. I really could do it in 3 months, but I know it's going to take time. 1 year, $100 million. And when you gross $100 million by putting your pennies together, wealthy people come to your aid, will match it. So you got $200 million. Nobody gives a person that don't want something out of life anything. So you wonder why our kids are being shot down. Oh, they just found out that city where that boy got shot at, that they've been taxing the black people. Isn't that something? You just found that out? Stopping you, giving you tickets. You can't afford tickets. You can't go to college because you owe them tickets. They'll put you in jail. They would literally put you in jail like an animal. So the federal government took Ferguson and ran an investigation. And you thought that was that young man laying in the street. He was to sacrifice lamb to bring the light on what they doing to the people in Ferguson. That was just the carcass there, man. That wasn't his soul there. But you can't give the people that left him there know that. They had bad intentions. So in Ferguson, it just came out that they went against the law, that the law targeted black folks, took their houses from them, because they owe for tickets and any stopping them for everything, putting charges on them. Think that's just Ferguson? I don't know where you listening to me from is happening right in your own city. Because why? You're deaf, dumb, and blind. You believe the cross is going to help you. So you kiss it and you pray to it and don't even know you're practicing idol gods. History. Go back and see their cross that they used to worship before Abraham. You in the modern day time, what is your excuse? And then you get upset because we tell you that God has no children. You get upset because we tell you Jesus was a prophet, like every prophet that came. But you don't want to hear that. But you're suffering. And then you wonder why you're suffering. Because I seen a young girl grabbed her cross and kissed it and said, "Oh, Jesus, help me." And my son said to me, "Daddy, God is not going to help me." I said, "Oh, yes, he is." He said, "Well, why would God help her? He called him Jesus." I said, "Because he knows that's just ignorance coming out of her mouth. But in her heart, she's calling God as if she said Allah." He said, "Wow." I said, "Allah knows your heart. He knows your ignorance." It's like being in school. And you're the school teacher. Everybody is quick and fast. They can read. But you got one person in there that's slow. They can't read. Did they make them less than a human being? You just got to give him or her a little more attention and try to bring them up to level as the other students. You don't kick them aside. And you're just a human being. God won't kick you aside because you're ignorant or you stuck on stupid and you want to think that his name is Jesus or the God or you want to make him the son of God. He knows your heart. So he will assist you. He will hear your prayers. Because why? He's most merciful. He know you don't know no better. But that doesn't mean that the slow student can't get better. He or she can learn if she really wants to learn how to read. I remember my school teacher says memory. Here's $20. Now I'm going to hold it for you. Come back next week and I'll give it to you on Wednesday. Mrs. Johnson, can I have my $20? Oh, you remember. You remember this day, 12 o'clock noon, I was going to give you $20. Well, you can remember this word. Put it in your subconscious mind. Now read it. The mind, as the Negro Foundation says, it's a beautiful mind. You shouldn't waste it. But you come through school, you learn what math was all about, science. But I can't get you through to understand that Jesus is a prophet. That's why you can't go to the next level. All these very different things you see on school, you got so many different avenues to Christianity. There's only one road to God. Everybody teaching something different, but they all got one thing in unique, in common. Send your money in. Send your money to Alfred. I don't have cancer. I don't need your money. Nobody pays me for this. But I get my rewards with Allah. Because when you do something for a man, and man means woman, they give you one for one. You do it for God, he gives you 10 to 1, and then he multiplies it by 10. So that's 100 to 1. Don't you like those odds better? He gives it back to you in success. So I thought I would take this opportunity to introduce to you a believer in God. And all those men that I talked about, I walked amongst them. We watched each other grow. We loved each other when we had nothing more than we did when we grew. Because there was no big eyes, no little youths. Everybody loved each other. The brotherhood. Want for your brother that which you want for yourself. And we had so much power of unity, they feared us. They built the federal building downtown North because they feared us. Because some of us took what we thought belonged to us. They weren't criminals. They just took what they believed you stole from us. And some of us was able to give orders. Well, if you got more than two or three children, someone got to be in charge when you leave. Because if not, it'll be chaos. He said, okay, Mutaba, you in charge. And boy, he's going to tell me everything. Because why? He's the boss. But you can't make him the boss all the time because they'll get to him. Okay, Mara, you the boss. And this is the killer. Oh, Daddy, y'all going out? Yes, Kajara, you the boss. Oh, she telling everybody. But if you don't leave one in charge, you got chaos. So during the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we had captains and lieutenants. Yes, sir. And that same man would meet me on the dojo, which is martial art. I would whoop his tail. But when he got them bars on, yes, sir, because it was for a community, wasn't for him. When he fought me, that wasn't for the community. He was trying to hurt me, so I had to hurt him first. But when we went in the back and get dressed, and he said, Brother Mirage, you got to clean up this garbage can. Yes, sir. Now I just whooped his tail. But we had a community. We loved each other. And some brothers was on the outside and some was on the inside. I had the luxury of being part of both of them. That was a no-no. You couldn't be out and be in. But I was such a crack soldier, they couldn't kick me out. But I learned from the men on the outside. Those are the ones didn't give a damn. Those are the ones will take what they want, go to jail, didn't give care how much time you. They tried to break us. Why, brother, I know a man stayed in a hole for 25 years. 25 years. He went in there saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and came home saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. They were so fearful of him because he talked like this amongst the population. And he controlled the population that men that was in doing life went home to his family on the weekend. Don't tell me that didn't happen. And the brother didn't jump ship. He went home, stayed with his family, came back to prison. But when he came back to prison, they said, that ain't happening again. Put him in the hole. He got too much influence. Tried to break him. I don't know if I could have done that. That was his trial. He passed that test. He's been home for going on now 20 years. He ain't been back yet. Those are men that stood up for you to be able to walk around free today. But look at the love we had. Today, you come into a knowledge and all confused. You don't even want unity. I remember Minister James had all these satellites. Jersey City, Elizabeth, Asbury Park, New Brunswick, Patterson, you name it. We was all over the state. Fourth Sunday, we all came together. And we would give so much money. I remember my wife saying you gave it all, didn't you? I said, yes, dear, I gave it all. $4,000. I said, don't worry, baby, we're going to get it back. And God gave it back. That's what we was a giver. We gave. Nobody had to teach us that. And today, you're selfish. And guess what? You got nothing. You sure don't have no unity. What do you have? Nothing. Then you wonder why our children out there killing each other. Because you left nothing for them. So this is the history. And Muhammad the Prophet ﷺ tried to tell us the level in which we're supposed to operate. Community. Stand up. Stand up for righteousness. And all this stuff around the country couldn't happen to us. That the Ku Klux Klan and the white and the blue uniforms killing us. And we won't come together to say we ain't tolerating it. We don't have to go to war. See, that's when we was physical. But if the governor don't give us nothing, find out what he's invested in and shut it down. Oh, we invest in that company. You invest in Verizon? This is just a metaphor. I don't know what the government owns. But he could have stock in Verizon. We find that out. So 1 million of us shut down Verizon. Well, why you shut down? We don't like what the governor did. Hey, brother, you just turned them around. You ain't called them. You ain't go see them. But you too stuck on stupid, and ain't nobody big enough to guide you that way. So they penetrate through us. And they walk up to the individual and make you think you are an individual. Well, guess what? I believe in all humanity. So I'm talking to my Christian sisters and brothers. I love them, and I guess they feel it because they love me. And I'm going to give them this. And inshallah, they're going to realize that we don't.